Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Trana. Going to do a very quick intro here because we have a long pod and it's a very good one. Before we get to it, I'll tell you to start. The guests will be Kay Adams and Chris Long. Kay, you know from Good Morning Football. Chris, you know from winning 2 Super Bowls. They are co-hosts of Amazon Prime's NFL Next pregame show Thursday nights at 7 o'clock on Amazon Prime. So Kay's in studio, Chris on Skype, and we had a very fun conversation with them about pretty much everything. And then after that, for the New York Mike Francesa people out there, Andrew Marchand of the New York Post joins the show to get into the latest news on Mike retiring from Afternoon Drive at WFAN. Last week, if you missed it, Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone channel was on the podcast, as well as Renee Young, WWE broadcaster with FS1's WWE Backstage. So if you have not listened to that, check it out. But Monty Jones was on 2 weeks ago. Check that out. Subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. And now we get right into Kay Adams and Chris Long, followed by Andrew Marchand right here on the SI Media Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, very excited for this. Two of my favorite people in sports media, because now Chris Long is in sports media. They host NFL Next on Amazon Prime every Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, before the Thursday night football game. Kay Adams, also from my favorite morning show, Good Morning Football.
Hello.
And Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champion, former SI.com Game of Thrones correspondent. Now he has his own media company, podcast, etc. Good to have both of them with me. Kay is in studio. Chris is on Skype, so we can actually see him.
So I get more points as we kick this thing off.
Chris didn't get here.
One-upped you, bud.
A little geographically disagreeable for me. I live in Virginia, but otherwise, yeah, you do get to one-up me on this one.
All right, I know this is going to get out of control quickly, but let me try to like do a couple of serious things here to keep the Amazon people happy and the NFL people happy. Since you mentioned you're in Virginia, you do this show with Kay, the Thursday night pregame show, NFL Next on Amazon Prime, in Jersey. What do you drive back and forth every Thursday? What do you do for this?
So generally, because I have two small children, I like to spend as little time as I can in Jersey, even though I love the city.
I thought you were
going to
say at home.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the city of Philly. I love coming back to visit. My first couple weeks, I spent the night there the night before, but now I'm taking the noon flight. And I take a driver home.
Oh, okay.
Delays can be a you know what. So 4.5 hours after the show, and I'm home by midnight. It's all good.
How are those drives going for you home, Chris? Great.
They're good. As long as I don't get the most talkative driver on the East Coast, I'm usually good.
Maybe one day that'll happen to you.
So you fly up, and then you drive back. I thought you were going to say you have two kids, and you want to be home as little as possible. That's where I thought you were going.
No. Right. I don't want to be – and even though there's nothing against the state of New Jersey, but, you know, I'd rather be home with my kids.
The second show we did, he brought the family, though.
Okay.
He brought Meg. He brought the kids. Yeah, so
I did.
He missed him that much that he brought them along.
Now, Kay brought up something very good. I'm glad you brought up, because I was going to do it. On your last pod, I believe, you went on a little rant about having drivers who speak to you. You want silence. Kay, when you're in an Uber, do you want the driver? Like, how frustrated do you get if someone talks to you?
I get a car to the show every day on Good Morning Football. Right. I have a Polish driver.
You have the same driver
His
every morning?
His name's Paweł, pretty much sometimes, most of the time. And I speak full Polish, and he barely speaks English. And I've convinced him, this is now 4 years in, that I don't speak Polish. That I'm
That's
Italian,
amazing.
That I do, because I don't want to talk to him, because it's all he will want to do. So no, I want absolute silence.
So you speak full Polish?
Yeah.
Can you say?
Hey, there's nothing you want to do more than flex the fact that you're bilingual.
I just did that.
Must be really hard.
Point.
To sit in the car for years and be like, oh, I want to say it, and he's on the phone with his wife and be like, yeah, I know that TV show. Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
So do you? No, so if he's talking to someone on the phone in Polish, you can understand what he's.
I know, and I'm always like, don't say anything inappropriate. That's gonna
can
make
you
me
imagine,
like cringe.
Like he calls his mistress.
Don't start sexting or like doing anything that's going to really creep me out. Just don't do it. But luckily, Paweł has not.
Can you say I'm happy to be on the Sports Illustrated Media podcast in Polish?
Yes. Bardzo fajnie tutaj być dzisiaj z tobą, Jimmy, Krzysiu, Chris.
I need that.
Wspaniały czas z wami.
It's going to be my new intro. Chris is impressed.
Yeah.
Chris is impressed.
I haven't brought that one out for him yet.
So as we can see already, you guys are very funny and loose, and you guys do this show on Amazon Prime, a little pregame show. There's so many pregame shows out there. I'm sure you guys want to be different and not do the standard show. I'll start with Kay, and then we'll go to Chris. What do you want to get out of NFL Next every Thursday? What's your goal for the pregame show before the big Thursday night game that airs on Fox with Joe Buck and Trey Aikman?
Just something refreshing and different. There's so many choices, different platforms. It's up to you. Do you want to end up listening to Joe and Troy and Howie, or do you want to listen to Andrea and Hannah who offer a different perspective? It's all about personalization. And I think, you know, Chris being so close to the game still, he's just removed. It's really cool just to get his perspective on anything being so close to the game. And we're the first of its kind. We're the first NFL pregame show to stream on an OTT platform, which is pretty special.
Chris?
I mean, you, as I would use as a case, said it all. And listen, I think the point of difference for us is that we're the best pregame show. I think that, like, Howie, those guys, Troy, those guys, like, not a huge fan. I think it's all about Amazon Prime. I think streaming is the future. people are streaming our show in Bulgaria,
Belarus.
I'm pretty sure Belarus. They're streaming our show in Poland for sure after this interview.
Yeah, for sure.
We're prestige worldwide.
You must have had a ton of offers when you officially announced you're retiring to do all sorts of media. What appealed to you about this gig?
Well, it's funny. I had more offers than I had as a free agent my last couple years in the league. But, you know, for me, it was something that was pitched as more of it's got that podcast feel.
Right.
It's got that conversational feel. It's like two friends in a living room talking about football, and we have guests on, and the guests have been great. I've enjoyed having LG on. Obviously, Jake the Snake Plumber was awesome. Am I missing any other guests, Kay?
Malcolm Jenkins
Malcolm,
was on.
Of course. Malcolm, who came over the bridge after a tough loss and was great. He was a natural. So it's just fun for me that it's not so buttoned up. I don't have to wear a suit. You wouldn't catch me dead in a suit. I have all these suits now hanging in my closet from road trips that I hated wearing. I'm a T-shirt guy. And, you know, this is a T-shirt pregame show, and I like that.
Chris goes to Urban Outfitters, buys whatever T-shirt he sees, and wears it on the show that day. Like, that's how we roll.
That's
in a panic. I had a Joy Division shirt that Kay gave me some... Well, a lot of people were like, Joy Division, bro.
Okay, bro.
Big fan. And I was like, no idea who that is. I'm the ultimate poser, but I have no problem admitting that. So, yeah, I'm an impromptu T-shirt guy. I'm going to start to repeat articles of clothing now. I'm not a big dresser.
Oh, come on. You can manage 16 different shirts.
How about you, man? I don't see much variation in your wardrobe.
I'm not on TV.
Ooh, what a journo.
I'm behind a microphone.
What a journo move to flip the script onto Trina.
I stay off TV for many reasons. So, but the...
Streaming, not TV, Jimmy. Streaming.
Yeah, bro.
I know. I'm old. So you can get me... Forget the wardrobe. You get me on being old because I still say TV. I still watch... But I did watch you guys the last 2 weeks. I made sure to check out the show. I love that it's casual. It's not like... There's no desk and, like you said, people in suits with their scripts. It's very, very casual.
Did you love that I was bald? Is that what you loved?
Well, I was going to say at first, I was, you know, your Halloween costume last week was a little, like, really deep in the woods. Like, Chris's...
Come into the woods with us, Jimmy.
The woods. Come on,
it's
man.
Just a half hour every week.
Your
come
Good
into
Morning
the woods.
Football costume was something else.
I liked my second costume better.
What was it? Chris's coach or something?
The great Ken Flagel.
Yeah, exactly.
Ken Flagel, who doesn't know about Ken Flagel?
He's worldwide.
Yeah. I think the Super Bowl trophy was a
Chris.
Little...
Well, my favorite part of that whole costume was the cotton ball goatee that was just hanging on by a thread by the end of the show. The thing was like falling
off.
We
couldn't look at each other
I
the
saw
entire
it. You
half
were both
hour.
Cracking. It was like an
I
SNL skit.
I couldn't look at his face.
Yeah, it was an SNL skit like when Jimmy Fallon used to crack up during every skit. That was you two. You laughed throughout the whole show.
I went outside of NFL Films, found Halloween decorations that were put up, ripped some like webs and put that on my face.
Now
if you don't know who Clint Flagel is, like I don't know what to tell you, Jimmy.
I have to admit, when you came out, I was like, I thought you were Doug Peterson at first. No. I will admit that.
Hey, did the Eagles loved it? Did they not?
They did love it. I actually FaceTimed Doug after the segment to show him, but she was already back out of the phone booth, and she was Kay Adams again. Howie Roseman liked it. Everybody loved it. Ken Flagel is a lovable guy.
I don't want to put you guys on the spot in case you don't know this, but I'll ask anyway, and if you don't, you can just fake it. Can people watch the show after it airs? Like, can someone go back and check out last week's show right now if they wanted to?
I do believe so. So you have to go to the main Amazon page, and then you can just click on Thursday Night Football and catch that live at 7 leading into the Fox broadcast of pregame. But I think afterwards there are clips. We aren't allowed to tweet clips out.
Really?
That I know, yes. I don't know if I should say that.
Man,
but that's
that was
true.
Geek Squad right there, Kay.
Yeah.
You should make twice the money. My mom, I need you to talk to my mom because my mom is always like, how do I watch this afterwards? I don't know how to do it. I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I love streaming. I am fully supportive. I just don't
stream
stuff.
Well, it's not hard. If your mom has Amazon Prime, all she has to do is go on Amazon.com, and it's pretty there at the top of the page at 7 o'clock on Thursdays. So.
Yeah.
It's quick. Okay. It's a half hour. I would say the biggest challenge to this show, because, you know, what Chris is saying, like
a
podcast.
Damn, shots fired. He said my mom's bad with technology. Go ahead, Kay. Sorry.
Just, you know, he wants it to be, we both want it to be loose and more conversational. And it's the Joy Division T-shirt of pregame shows, as we both know. It's difficult to do in a half hour.
But I will say this. I'm going to come off as kissing ass, but I don't care. I think that even though it's billed as a pregame show, from what I've seen, you can go back and watch it anytime and still enjoy it just because it's so loose. You're not, I mean, yeah, you have segments on that game, obviously, but over a half hour, there's plenty of other stuff that's sort of evergreen that people can watch at any time.
It's because Chris is so random.
I am random.
He is very...
And also, Kay is awesome at her job in general and helping me along. But I think we try to take the 10,000-foot view of stuff. Mm. I think a lot of times people get so, what's your prediction? Like, real quick, like, right. We barely do the prediction thing. I think for us, it's about the big picture and how that wraps into the game for Thursday night, because there's always a big picture element when it comes to a matchup. Even if it's a matchup that people aren't excited about, there's always a big picture issue.
Well, I think, listen, all of these pregame shows and even game telecasts, they're all filled with ex-players, and they all seem to just do the same thing. I think what Chris can – I think I've told you this, is that you can be different and really bring something else to the table because you're willing to sort of go there when other ex-players – just as a fan, like, I'm more interested – like, instead of your prediction, like, I want you to tell me, like, what is – like, what's the typical, like, in-the-huddle conversation like during a blowout? Like, I'd rather know that than, like, your prediction on Raiders Chargers tomorrow.
And that's where fans are going. I mean, fans want the anecdotal stuff. They want the curtain peeled back. And as far as my brand is concerned, that bridge was burned a long time ago. So I can be whatever I want,
right.
You know, which is nice. I mean, there's some guys that are still doing the suit thing. They're afraid to maybe make a mistake or say something controversial. I've already alienated over half of my listenership or viewership, so there's only one way to go from here.
You care more than a lot of ex players that I've seen about getting it right, which
I do want to get it right.
Right, that's so. I've never like talked to Chris and thought, oh, he has this relationship, or how's this going to go, or how deep can we go. Mm. I asked him the first show we did, like, I want your top five quarterbacks. I'm just letting you know, at some point in this, I'm going to ask you that question. Mm-hmm. And I think he took it lightly. I think he looked at it from a bunch of analytical angles. We do Next Gen Stats in our show. I know he was asking James Coe, our stats analyst, to back up some things, what he thinks. The thing about Chris that I think is different, he listens. He actually will ask a question, and I know that he wants to know what I think, what my voice is, my perspective, not just mine, but pretty much everybody around there that has one.
Right.
What did y'all just say?
Okay. It's true. Okay, I don't think you realize it's pretty rare. It's
what
very
a comedian.
Cool.
No, I appreciate it. I don't want to get things wrong. I think I'm stepping into a world that Kay's been working super hard at this type of thing. You know, James has been working super hard at this type of thing. I don't want to be that athlete that comes in and is like, well, I played 11 years in the league. I can say whatever I want. I can just skate by. Because that's not fun for me. Otherwise, I'd do something else.
But isn't it so hard when I'm like, Chris, tell me a story? What about a story?
No,
about
but
this guy?
I did
like
think
this week,
the quarterback.
Like, you said Derek Carr. What's the story?
First week was like hazing.
Oh yeah, that was. You're welcome. Now you're a star.
But wait, are you ever nervous about saying something about someone you know that you played with or against, or you let it fly?
Yeah, there's a code there. You know, I think that's the one thing about being a player is you don't want to be disrespectful. There's a line that you cross in the way you talk about somebody's performance or somebody's actions.
Right.
So you should always be cognizant of the fact that you played for a long time and look at it through that lens. But you can't baby people. You know, I've had a hard time this year because I'm talking about the Eagles a lot.
Right.
You know, and everybody wants to hear what I have to say about the Eagles, and unfortunately, it blows up either way. And they haven't played well at times. And there's players that I know that haven't played well, and there's units that I like that haven't played well. So I've been challenged right off the bat. I'm still figuring that out, but my dad always told me there was like a thin line between talking about players and talking about them gratuitously and really piling it on when you were a player.
Right. So like when I talk about, this is going to hit home for Kay too, because she's a bit, like when I talk about Mitch Trubisky, I say he has no business in the NFL. You would never say that. That's way too
No, hard. I wouldn't say that. Right. I'd be measured. I would say that Mitch Trubisky is not being helped by his offensive coordinator. But I also don't think that it was the wisest pick at that point in the draft, right. And he needs more development. I don't know if he'll ever get there.
Do you want to rebuttal at it?
No, I think that, I mean, anything that I say always just has facts behind it.
Right.
I didn't play the game. Yeah. Chris does not lean on the fact that he plays the game. I always hear, he has stats. I don't know where that comes from or where that, you know, we do the show. It's a half-hour show.
Right.
He could sit there, lean back on his couch, and crush it, but an hour leading into that show, what do you do in that room?
What am I doing in that
room? He sits in this room. There's a plate of food that's barely touched, and he is writing notes, looking at things.
Just
like,
scribbling.
Yeah. What are you doing in there?
I know this from when he wrote the Game of Thrones.
I'm like eating Snicker bars in the back.
Trying to keep up with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I know this when he wrote the Game of Thrones column. It would be like a 15-hour process that we would go through.
Because you want to get
that
it right.
That was hard. That's way harder than working. Working with Kay on Thursday night is easy. I'm stepping into like a ready-made situation. It's kind of like I'm Kirk Cousins and Kay's Dalvin Cook. I mean, like, it can't go without Dalvin Cook.
What a compliment.
Dalvin Cook's the MVP. I just need to keep the ship, you know, above water. Yeah. Now,
you're so self-deprecating. It's so gross. I'm Kirk Cousins. Give me a break.
He's milking it right
now. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You guys just stepped in that one. Sure. You don't like Kirk Cousins.
I mean, you're
good is, I mean, you know, mediocre,
he's
average.
He's okay. He's vanilla.
The Game of Thrones thing. Well, if you're an average quarterback in the NFL, you're one of the best on the planet. Anyway,
that was a way of calling yourself really rich. We get it. You have a lot of money, Chris. We get it. Can't hide it.
Game of Thrones, that was hard, Jimmy.
I know.
It wouldn't, Kay, that would be hard. Do you watch Game of Thrones, Kay?
Chris, you and I were in a fantasy Game of Thrones league years ago together that you don't even remember.
I barely know what's going on in my football
fantasy
league right now.
We were in a text chain with a ton of NFL media. I don't remember who else was in it. Chris was in it, took it very seriously, and was the best trash talker on the thread.
I'm not surprised. I want to ask about you two, but since we're on this topic of other players and talking about X-Play, what did you make of the Sam Darnold ghost comment in ESPN airing that? Did you think ESPN was out of line? Did you think that was fair game? What did you make of that as a player?
Well, I think I look at it from the player perspective. You should always know where your audio is going. And players need to be a little bit more just aware and ask questions. I think sometimes they're like, hey, we're miking you up this week. And people are like passive about it. Like, oh, okay. I think especially quarterbacks, you should be cognizant of the fact that everything you say could become a headline. You know, it's just different. I liked his self-awareness. And I liked his willingness to say, I'm seeing ghosts. Like, if I'm a teammate, like, everybody knows you're seeing ghosts, bro. Like, mm-hmm. So you being able to say that and verbalize that, I actually think is a positive. And the way he took it after the game, didn't make excuses, didn't bitch, didn't lash out at people. He just seems like a mature kid. And I like his self-awareness. Now, the mic'd up thing, the boogeymen, they took that thing and ran with it. But the lesson in the NFL is you're always going to be the butt of the joke eventually, and that's what happened.
Well, you should have appreciated that, because as we saw on your, I think, the first episode of your Green Light podcast on Chalk Media, you had a habit when you knew a teammate was mic'd up of going up to them and asking them how their herpes was.
Well, I didn't say herpes. I would usually say, like, hey,
rash.
How's your rash?
You see, I'm not playing this bullshit game, rash, but you meant herpes. So let's.
I meant herpes, but there's all types of rashes. There's shingles. A lot of Americans are affected by shingles every day.
But you meant herpes.
I said, I asked a few of them if they needed any more Valtrex. But when you ask somebody a question like that, that would insinuate that you have Valtrex. And I just want to clear that up. Nobody I know and nobody in this studio is dealing with a rash.
Thank you for clarifying.
But in the NFL, you know, it's a whole other ballgame.
Well, when you're mic'd up,
where are you taking this thing?
I'm just saying, he's the one who would go up to his teammates and ask him, not me.
Is the title of this on your podcast thing going to be NFL and Herpes and Chris Long and
Kenny? No, it's talking rash.
Talking rash.
See, there he goes. Now,
rash talk.
Okay, so Kay, I didn't know this till we saw each other one night at an NFL event recently, that you started your career with the Rams as the...
I was like the stage game day, like, stage manager.
Okay, now was Chris
my job to make
on
sure
that Rams
okay.
team?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys go way back then. From
we
those.
Do.
Was he nice
Started
to you when you
bottom.
Had that job?
Yeah.
Did he acknowledge you, or did he not even like acknowledge? You know, you're just.
Well,
like
I don't think he had a chance to acknowledge me because I was like running around like a little mouse trying to get these guys not to run me over, running out
she
onto
was
the
running
field.
The pyrotechnics.
Basically, I would be in
no really
the, I'm not kidding, I'd have a headset on like I do now,
right?
I'd be in the tunnel, and I don't know why they thought it was a good idea to give like the 90-pound sub 5-footer the job of, when these dudes like Chris Longsize and Steven Jackson, SJ39, are just done with smelling salts and getting revved up by whatever they do in that locker room, and Steve Spagnuolo just gave them the speech of a lifetime, it's my job to hold on to the back of their like uniforms and be like, wait till they say your name.
Oh my
okay,
God.
Go. And then I would push them out. None of them listened.
Did
it
you
was
ever
go out into the sea of 8,000
yes,
fans.
And pyrotechnics.
And you're 0-12 at this point. Like, and by the way, the pyrotechnics were never the same after she left. We,
Thank you.
In 2000,
Thank you,
I think, 12, our field caught on fire against the Pittsburgh Steelers in pregame, and that was after K.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God!
See, I made a
huge
impact.
Did when you had to hold them back and then let them go? Did it always go smoothly, or did you ever have an incident where maybe you fell or someone?
It was always Steven Jackson. There was a little slot receiver that actually bumped me in the head because he was more at my height, and I'm pretty sure I was in concussion protocol for a while.
Donnie Avery?
Nope, not that one, Chris.
Oh, okay. There's another one.
There's another one.
I know who it is, but I'll keep moving. How long did you do the Rams gig for?
2 years, and I worked for the Cardinals at the same time.
Same time?
Mm-hmm.
Is that allowed? Like, you're pumping up the Rams and Cardinals
crowd? No, the baseball crowd. But I was like on camera then.
Oh, the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's when I was like, I'm here, and you know, here's your gift in section 208 for the Ameristar Casino.
I go right to the
Ameristar.
I went right to the Arizona Cardinals.
Don't tell me you didn't spend nights at the Ameristar, hanging out everywhere.
At the Ameristar as a young player.
Of course, no. Don't say that.
It was an ominous sight as you went over on
St. Charles.
Well, what was the highway? How'd you get to Earth City? It was 270 or 170?
Yeah, 170.
When you went over the hill before the Earth City exit, there was work on the right at the Earth City exit. And then off in the distance, just looming, was this ominous building called the Ameristar. And you'd see it on the bluffs, on the banks of the river. And you're like, yeah, that's where I'm going to go get drunk later after we lose this game and lose a bunch of money gambling. So
it was a good time in St. Louis. Great time.
I did go to St. Louis once, and remember, I loved it because the gambling is right there. Very, very easy access to the casinos. And I did lose a lot of money that one night. What's your game of choice at the casino?
Well, honestly, I was a big 21 dude. I don't really have, I don't really play cards. So for me, that was a short-lived thing when I saw how quickly you can win money doing that. I'm a big sports bettor now.
Right. Oh, we need to get into that really deep.
Not too deep.
Oh, deep. When you're in the NFL, you can't bet on the NFL, obviously. So were you betting other sports while you were in the NFL? And then when you retired, it was like you busted out of the cage and now you could bet the NFL every Sunday?
Is this my Pete Rose moment?
Yes.
No, I would do a college football pool sheet. I mean, I was the guy. I was the guy with the book on college football. So
you were the book? Interesting. And what?
Yeah.
And how are the NFL wagers treating you in your first year of retirement, week 9?
Slightly net minus.
Slightly? See,
slightly.
People on Skype can't see, but he smiled. Was your wife in the room and you don't want to say it's a big minus?
No, she's fine. My wife knows. My wife lets me, send a bet out at dinner. She supports my second career.
Oh, my God, Chris.
Greg's the coolest.
Listen, it's only in a slight minus. Definitely can't bet.
I don't know anything about it.
But you're a fantasy junkie.
Yeah, love fantasy.
How many
football.
Fantasy teams do you have right now?
Four.
That's
I'm
not
doing
bad.
Pretty well in all of them, but I don't really play for anything. I don't have. People are always talking about.
Don't tell me you do free leagues.
I do two. I do a family league.
Fantasy leagues. That gives me anxiety, along with the fact that you have a cracked phone. That also.
You
gives
have
me
a cracked
anxiety.
Phone. I got my phone fixed. You
say,
need to get your phone
not
fixed. Is your phone still cracked? Be honest.
Mine's slightly spiring in the top right corner.
All right, pot kettle.
What, do you have no case?
No, I don't. My,
oh
I have like
my.
An iPhone
See,
4.
That gives me anxiety.
Yeah, it gives me anxiety.
Yeah,
walking around with four fantasy teams, and she's checking it on her iPhone 7.
It's an iPhone 4S.
No case.
Thank you.
I literally 4S. Start to shake when I see someone out of case. It makes me so nervous.
Mm.
Get a case, please.
Let's talk more about Chris.
We're going to talk about you still. When you said Cardinals, I didn't even think baseball. That's so bizarre to me. I would never. I just think of you as so football.
And then I threw the first pitch at Wrigley this year.
So tell me how you got to Good Morning Football.
How did I get there?
Yeah, from the Rams to Good Morning Football.
Yeah, I went from St. Louis. There was a job opportunity to come up to New York and go work in Stanford doing NBC Sports news or radio updates.
And you did the DirecTV fantasy.
I did DirecTV on Sundays. Right. And then they were starting Good Morning Football. NBC Row was that production company. And they came to me and said, do you want to do this? Let's do it. And
You guys have really, I feel like every... Like, the show has grown in popularity from the day, keeps growing. And that's what people usually want from their shows.
I would think so, yeah.
How happy does that make you?
That it's more popular?
Well, that, you guys are really, there's a lot of momentum, I feel like, behind the show. And
it's a lot of work, the show.
Everyone
so
in the league
cool
watches
to see...
that show, too.
Yes.
They do. Yeah. They do. It's an iconic show. I know Kay doesn't want to praise herself, but that show is really good, yeah. And people who know football like it too, and they're able to be funny while actually hitting the X's and O's.
Right.
By the way, Kay, our power rankings were almost identical.
Nice. Did you have the same set one?
We can talk about it. Well, the only difference was at five, you had the Seahawks, I have the Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs? We're the poor Packers getting no love from us.
Don't let Kay change the subject. We want to know about
Good
Morning
Chris
Football.
Is such a good friend for doing that. He knows me.
We don't forget power rankings.
I will say, Chris loves Good Morning Football so much that last week when he was in New York doing an entire media junket promoting his new Chalk Media platform,
right. It
was high on the list of places for him to come visit, wasn't it, Chris?
You got to talk to my team. My team said that.
He didn't come here, so
he
thanks.
Did not come see me. That's cool, though. We'll make up for it later.
No, but I was going to say, it's one thing when a schmuck like me says they love Good Morning Football, but like everyone in the league,
that's got
to freak you out a little bit, though, no?
I would say no, because we're such a positive show.
That's true.
That there's nothing to be freaked out by. It's an honor, honestly. We work very hard every day to make it different and make it just look different than everything else you might see in the morning or on the network. So it's nice to see that hard work pay off. I think the best thing that we do and the thing that makes me most proud or my most rewarding moments are when we show a side of guests that don't get to be shown necessarily. Mm-hmm. So yesterday we had Jerry Rice, who's, of course, incredible on camera and a really great personality. But I feel like we and Nate Burleson specifically were able to pull something out of him that you're not going to see on his entire media tour.
Right. I asked Chris about how he does the Thursday show. I'm obsessed on this podcast whenever I have guests who have like weird jobs with the traveling. Like I can't, like you do that show. I know you guys get up at, I think Kyle had once told me he gets a car at like 3 or 4 in the morning and all that. And then you're on this thing on Thursday night. I see you doing, you know, the weekend Good Morning Football. I see you on you're on Buffalo. Like, do you sleep? Do you rest?
I'm a vampire, basically. I don't know how I keep the energy. I think it's the best thing to do during the season is work a ton, because then you're living it. Then you're not sitting there studying numbers. You know the numbers because you're watching the games all day Sunday. Then you do Good Morning Football. By the time I get to Chris on Thursday, we'll text on Sunday. We'll text throughout the week about what we want to talk about. And that show just sort of goes and flies.
Right.
So I don't know. Do I sleep? I don't deprive myself. Like if I go to a concert, till 1 in the morning or midnight, then, I'm going to have to make up for that and pay the debt the next day.
I'm not going to lie. This is going to be rude. I don't mean to be rude, but I just got, as the host, I have to say this. As a Good Morning Football loyalist who watches every morning and loves the four of you so much, I didn't like you on Good Morning Football weekend. I feel like it's cheating. Just saying that. Just got to throw it out.
It's
there.
Cheating.
Isn't it cheating, Chris? It's cheating.
Huh?
It's cheating that you have the main, like, that's like,
I don't think they saw it. So
is that rude, Chris, that I said that?
But it's not rude if I do the show with Chris.
You're the viewer.
Right.
Lay it all out there.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was okay. No, you weren't there for it. Did you watch it?
I saw it, and I'm like, I can't believe she's turning on Nate, Kyle, and Peter.
Do you normally watch it?
No.
Oh, so did you watch it for me, Jimmy?
I saw you were on there, and I'm like, I think I saw it on Twitter. Go ahead, Kay.
I have two questions.
Oh, boy.
One, what time does your alarm go off on a normal Good Morning Football morning, and what time are you done with that show?
I'm done with that show at 10:30-ish every morning, and I wake up, if there's a game the night before, like a Sunday nighter that I'll have to probably watch the last quarter on my way to work, I'll get up around 3:45, but on like a...
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's really... But then secondly, you have an opportunity for the most glorious naps every day. Do you take naps?
I do not take naps.
You are a psycho.
But am I tired when I'm around, like when I do the Thursday night show? No.
It's amazing.
That's why
but
I asked.
To me, a nap, like especially like if I'm home, I get home and nobody's home and it's before noon and I was up before 8 a.m., I'm taking a nap.
Can't
like it's
do it.
My
That's
bed,
too early like, to just, take a nap. The nap needs to be like 2, 3, 4 o'clock, not 12.
No, anxiety. That just puts you in a weird place when you wake up, especially with daylight savings. Don't know how my dad does it. My dad's a big PM nap guy.
Yeah.
When you wake up and it's dusk, like, might as well go drinking. There's no way. I'm not going to be able to sleep that night. I don't know how you
I think 12 is too early for
now.
Do
you know that Chris doesn't know that he's funny? Do you agree? Do you agree with me?
I kissed his ass so much last week when
he
did his
that.
First
Don't
podcast because I thought it was. I was on my train laughing out loud at his podcast. And I've told him, appreciate his sense of humor because it's not like, here's the punchline. It's the throwaway line.
And he's not like, look at me, look at me.
That's why he's good.
Well, let's make him really uncomfortable.
He was talking about
hiding behind his microphone.
I'll embarrass him a lot right now. He was talking about how strip clubs have good chicken sandwiches or chicken.
They do have, it's not chicken sandwiches. Chicken. They're just good chicken, period.
But okay.
Really?
But here's what the funny part.
I've never been to a strip club, putting that out there.
Ever. Not in East St. Louis? Never been to East
Louis?
Eastside?
Nope. Mm-mm-mm.
But the funniest part of that is when he was talking about it and he was talking about like eating chicken while people were doing their work. And he's just like, well, the performer, we'll call them performers. Like the way
they are performers. Right. They do perform.
But
that I was referencing.
Right.
There's a,
but that was funny.
Strip club chicken's really good. Second thing you need to know is there was a restaurant called, and I'll call it a restaurant, just like we're talking performers. There was a place called Crystal City Restaurant, which was a strip club in Northern Virginia, mm-hmm. outside DC. A lot of the DC socialites, a lot of Natitude bros go there. And they serve sushi during the performances. So you've got like just, I don't trust the sushi at a strip club. That's where
chicken,
I draw the line.
Yes.
That's the point. Strip club chicken, A-OK.
There it is.
But I learned something.
That's
here
why you have to watch the Greenlight podcast on Chalk Media. That's the stuff he gives you.
You have a snake in studio, though, bro?
We did have a snake in studio.
Oh,
I guess we're
staying.
Like Angie's List for strip club food. Like, if you want to know. An after hours spot.
That's a good. That sounds like
right.
an app.
And then I'm the jerk because I said herpes is a problem in the NFL.
Why'd you connect strip clubs and herpes?
Because
why'd you do that?
Because
I'm not stigmatizing Valtrex or herpes. Right. What I'm saying is, how's your rash, bro? Like, you know, that's all I want
to
know.
Sounds like a
when
caring,
I,
considerate teammate
a...
to me.
Yes, absolutely, for sure. That's what he is—a considerate teammate. I think, and you guys are a great team. On Amazon.
Thanks for bringing that full circle.
Trying to get off the whole strip club.
Kirk Cousins is trying.
Yes.
Oh, his self-deprecation. I could kill him.
So let me ask you this question about we talked about it. It's streaming. What's the feedback like? Are you getting immediate feedback on Twitter? Do you react to it? Are you looking at it during the show, after the show?
Definitely not. So there's no commercials.
Right.
Which is another kind of cool benefit,
very
right?
Cool.
So it is half an hour. It's such an interesting challenge, especially coming from your favorite show, Good Morning Football,
right.
which is 3 hours.
Right.
Lots of commercials, lots of time right. to say what you're going to say. The biggest challenge of this show for me is that it's 30 minutes.
Yeah.
No commercials. We have to fit in a talk back with Hannah Handrea, we call them, with Handrea yeah. and with James Coe, get his awesome. He works so hard mm-hmm. with these stats and
yeah.
these numbers. He's awesome and gives really a different perspective that sort of offers some variation in what you can choose to be a part of on your Thursday night pregame. But the half hour, it's you're working up against it. So
right.
it's, we've talked way longer than a half hour, haven't we?
Not that much longer than a half hour. I'm going to let you
damn,
go soon.
Dude,
so that's
been
tough.
3 minutes, Kay. I didn't realize
yeah.
you were having such a shitty
I could
time
literally
here.
Do this for like 6 hours, but I know you guys probably want to get the hell out of here. I always, I talk to Peter and Kyle a lot, and I say to them all the time, like, I don't know how they do that every day. Like, to have that energy
mm-hmm.
for 3 hours at 7 a.m, I don't know how they do it, especially Kyle. I mean, I worry that Kyle's going to have a stroke one day on the show when they do the
yeah.
Wall Street segment or the Angry Runs. Like, I text him. I'm like, I am literally,
I'm
like, you're in great shape, but I'm worried
you.
About you.
I say that sometimes when there's like a prop on stage where it's like, oh, we're all going to get up on this. I'm like, Kyle, but... I mean, I don't know what they get hopped up on before the show.
It's got to be something.
They're on the other side of the floor, on the other side of the building, but it works.
78 Red Bulls. Chris, have you seen their Wall Street segment?
Listen, if he's method acting, that could be a problem for his health.
Yes.
Because those bros
he turns
on
red.
Wall Street
yeah.
go hard.
Yeah. Yes, they certainly
they know
do.
All about the chicken, don't they?
They know about the chicken.
Yeah.
They know about some other stuff.
Valtrex. All right, let's
powdered sugar-looking stuff that,
Jesus.
On their desks.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine Wall Street is, like, just piles of cocaine on... Is that okay to say?
Yes,
on this,
yes,
show?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, I'm not
accusing
loves this. Kyle of that.
NFL
but if
Next, 7
yeah.
p.m.
I'll ask you some... We'll wrap up with some football questions. We'll get it all back. We'll be all, like, serious, and I'll ask you some football
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, I like being serious. I got my notes here.
The Patriot lost last week... That everyone's freaking out about. I thought the Packer loss to the Chargers was actually way worse. Like, the Ravens are a good team. The Patriots always have a game like that sometime during the season. But the Chargers have been so up and down, and then they just shut down Aaron Rodgers like that. Are you nervous about the Patriots or what? Give me like a...
I disagree with you, Jimmy. I think the Packers loss it's not as surprising because this is generally when the Chargers get hot. You got a new play caller. It's an unknown. And I think the Packers, I talked about on my show last week, I sold them high. I worry about them stopping the run. I worry about a few of their deficiencies. They've won some games where questionable calls have gone their way. With the Pats, and Kay pointed this out, great minds think alike. I was on her timeline, and she said, she pointed out the thing that disproves everybody's, the Patriots' plot armor has to be that, well, even if they have a bad game, they usually do that on purpose, and they'll figure it out. Bill's not giving the whole game plan. They're 3-6 against teams in the playoffs that they lost to in the regular season, which is what Kay pointed out as well. I think that Baltimore creates a huge matchup problem for them, and there's no way to reshuffle the deck other than to just get home field advantage. But they're a game out when it comes to Baltimore. So when you look at the rest of the season, the Patriots have the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chiefs, and then the Bills to finish. And I had Ninkovich on my show yesterday, and he's like, yeah, you got to worry about that week 17 because now they're used to resting players. They're not going to have that cushion. If they see Baltimore again at home, it evens the playing field a little bit. But you get those big guys in their front seven running laterally to defend all that option stuff. That's not how they're built. Roman gave them problems in San Francisco. I worry about the Pats if they see Baltimore again.
How does Brady look to you?
Brady looks fine to me. I mean, like, here's the thing about Brady. Brady is the GOAT, but Brady is a different player than he was a little bit earlier in his career. And he's going to have those games where you're like, you know, every Monday there's somebody like, this is over for Tom. And eventually somebody's going to be right. But not so far. I think their problems are far more how do they protect the 42, 43-year-old quarterback? Mm. The Andrews loss was huge. When coming back, I don't know. I think they should have made a move for a tackle.
But
without Gronk, it tests everybody else from the skill position
and they
standpoint.
Can't run probably without Gronk because he's with the best pass blocker in the game, run blocker.
And without Devlin yeah. was a
oh,
huge
for sure.
loss. And the team that they can bank on beating every year in the playoffs, they can just shove it down their throat, would be Kansas City. But you worry that they're not the same team on the ground anymore.
I don't know why everyone's worried about Brady when he has recovery pajamas that you can buy.
Yeah, no, that solves everything.
Yeah, I mean, $100 on TB12.com and you put
is
on the...
Is that true?
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Look at Chris's face. Yeah, he sells recovery pajamas. You put them on and then you're fine. They're like $80. It's the one I love Tom Brady, but that bothers me so much.
You want night vision goggles, Chris? I want those for Christmas. Swap.
I got night vision goggles. Yeah.
Do the Chiefs? You mentioned. You mentioned the running game. Do the Chiefs have enough defense to win a Super Bowl?
They're getting better defensively. I thought they were just terribly imbalanced, but if you like DVOA, they're one of the most balanced teams in the league, along with the Saints and our favorite team, the Vikings. You know, they're only 11th in total defense DVOA, I think, I read this week. And I have no idea how DVOA works. I'm just joking. I kind of do. But
Chris Jones is good. Like, they're coming to play.
Chris Jones is back.
They've been
and
better
the
last three,
teammates.
4 weeks. Yeah.
And they won that game last Sunday without their defensive ends. Mm-hmm. So right. They're going to get people healthy here. I think they're going to be relevant deep into the playoffs. Andy Reid's a wizard, man. Matt Moore.
Yeah. Two more. What the Browns? Like, is it Freddie Kitchens' fault, Baker? Like
who's
too
the
much.
Leader? Who's the leader on that team? That it's not Odell. It's not Baker. It's clearly not Kitchens. Like, but I didn't have high expectations for that team.
I did. I was like all over the Browns, and
I got suckered into it because I thought the AFC North wouldn't be as. I thought the AFC North was way down. I didn't foresee Baltimore being this good. Mm-hmm. You know, interesting thing, Warren Sharp. If y'all like Warren Sharp.
Yep.
He pointed out a big discrepancy in the productivity between 11 and 12 personnel for them. And they've been way worse this year offensively. I think it all starts with Kitchens. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fired this year.
Yeah.
And I think it would be just because when you show you have evidence of like there's something here and then you regress and you're 100% controlling the offense, they've lost. They're 0-3 in games. They're one score games this year. Down the stretch last year, they're 3-1. These are all head coaching decisions. And Tony Dungy talked about it the other night. Like, it took him four years to be groomed to be a head coach. Kitchens, It was like, all right, let's do this thing. Like,
right.
Like roll the ball out. Yeah. Like, not working.
I think you're both right on that, everything you guys said there. My producer, Harry, here is a Dolphins fan.
Oh, wow.
So I want the player perspective. Is tanking complete bullshit? Is it a real thing? Like, I can't imagine these guys where you can literally – I mean, you can get injured on every single play of every Sunday. It's so dangerous. And they're going to go out there and tank. It's the concept is so bizarre to me, and I would love a player's perspective on that.
Players don't tank.
Right.
I could see front office people tanking, you know, in effect.
Right.
But there's no player out there that's going to just go out and screw up on purpose. The thing about being bad in the NFL, and I have a PhD in being on bad teams in the NFL, like Oxford level shit. Players, you can't be complacent. You could be mortally wounded on any play, bro.
Right.
Like, this isn't like being in the NBA where you're like, trust the process. Like, no, I'm not trusting any process. I have to defend myself. And when you're down big, especially on defense, or if you're a quarterback and your line sucks, you got to survive out there, bro. Like, you're under siege. Like, players are not tanking. You saw how excited they got about winning on Sunday.
Yeah.
They dumped
Gatorade shower.
Brian Flores with citrus cooler. Kay, where are you on that, by the way?
Where do you mean? On what?
Gatorade bats for one win team.
I think that this team has fight every week. They've lost every game, but for whatever reason, it's working for Flores. That team's trying to win every week. I'm glad they got one. And, yeah, douse him. Why not?
One win, you do the Gatorade, but you can't do it more than one win. Like, that's going to be their only win of the year.
No,
right.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
You got to do it for that one. Yeah.
That's a relief citrus cooler bath because you don't want to be the 0-16 team.
Right, exactly.
You just don't. I think it could happen in Cincy this year, honestly.
I do too. I'm surprised they're only 10-point underdogs this week against the Ravens there. That is a bizarre line to me.
Oh, are they?
Chris just perked up.
Put that down in your when you're having dinner with your beautiful wife and you want to make that bet. All right, last one. Chris Long, Kay Adams, NFL Next, Amazon Prime, every Thursday, 7 p.m. So happy to have them here. Last one, Kay, you first. Will pass interference be reviewable in the NFL next year?
Oh, boy. Why are you ending on that question?
Because it's the biggest debacle I've ever seen in my life.
I saw you wrote about it.
But here's the deal. They make the rule, but then they won't overturn any challenges. So why did they – I mean, was it really just to shut up Saints fans? I think that's really what it was.
Do you really think so? They have that much pull that they could do that?
Well, how come they don't overturn any pass interference challenges?
That's a Chris question.
I think the league is really bad. I think the league has so much going on. They're bad at foresight. And this was a bad plan. This is obviously by design. They're under 20% on overturned calls. There was a stretch there where it was like a month plus and they hadn't overturned one. You got coaches keeping their flags in their pockets. Shermer pulled his out the other day, throw a flag to no avail. And I think a lot of coaches have rightfully so just given up. And so it seemed to be a rule that they didn't. I think NFL sometimes forgets that there's a Twitter now.
Mm.
Like, people are on this shit.
Right.
Like, this isn't 1987.
Right.
Where they miss the calls, they miss the trends. Like, people are the Twitter police are on it.
Okay, so what's the solution? Because we can talk. We know it's a problem.
Go back to the old way and don't make it challengeable. What's the point in letting coaches challenge if you're never going to overturn it?
We can't say never.
99% of the time.
I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they need to do, but they either need to do what you're suggesting or get that closer to 50.
Right. Oof. All right, you didn't want to end on that topic. What do you want to end on? I'll let you end it, whatever you want to
say.
Throw something out, Chris.
What are you thinking, Chris? Chris, you still have that imaginary thing on your nose? Let's end it there.
I had a pimple last week on the show.
Okay, this is a good way to end it. Go ahead.
No,
I haven't had a pimple in many years on my face that I actually had to... I had to put makeup on my nose.
He didn't.
Too much candy corn? It makes you break out.
Mm.
Might be candy corn.
Yeah.
I do like candy corn.
He came in looking like it's Chris Long. Okay. Comes our glam squad. It's like, what is he talking about, Kay?
Was it a big pimple?
No. There was no pimple. There was nothing.
It was large.
It was like,
he was walking
into makeup where I'm getting done up for an hour, and he wanted to be like, oh, I have to come in there and pretend that something is wrong with me, and this is what
there's a lot going on here with your boy, and I had a pimple last week. I think it was stress.
But he cared. He cared more than...
He's launching a new media company.
He
cared so
much more than I thought he would. I put up a picture of Chris that he did not love, and I heard about it.
Are you really that way?
He's the classic, you know, the IG move where you're like, picture looks good to me. Didn't see that Chris looks like...
Yeah, I didn't look at you at all. You're right.
Like, I was on sedatives. You caught me... And Kay was like, awesome.
But you're,
you know,
so like, you're so rugged and like zero F's given. Like you're all out of F's all the time. But I can't believe that you would care.
This is why I like to get into the mind of like. You got like a two-time Super Bowl winner, millions of dollars, married, beautiful family, and he cares about like an Instagram picture. It makes no sense to me. No, he cares.
I'm very self-conscious. So I like to get my flaws out. I took the whole team through all my physical flaws to get that out of the way. It's the Eminem thing.
Everyone thinks he'll leave and everyone's cracking up. And I've had several people who don't like sports, don't watch football, who've interacted with Chris on the show, you know, Glam and so forth, that are like, does he know that he's hilarious? I don't think he knows. And I don't think he knows.
Kate, you're so now. I don't like that you're all putting it on Chris. You're funny too.
Thanks.
Yeah, she's really funny.
Appreciate
and you're a
that.
Smooth host. Good Morning Football flies. Like, come on, give yourself some credit.
It's a good time.
Yeah, she's
dealing
she's
with those maniacs. Dealing with Kyle, like having a stroke on the set every day, like it's not easy.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
3:45 alarm clock. Yeah. You're insane.
He's so mad about that.
I watch them and I'm just, I don't. I'm like, how are they? She's all perky. The show starts. I'm like half asleep. Kyle's running. I'm like, this show is amazing. So.
Well, we love it. So yeah. I'm glad you like it.
And then of course, NFL next every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, Amazon Prime. You guys are on before Raiders Chargers this week. Thursday night schedules is always good, so you guys at least get good games, too. You don't have to, like, preview clunkers, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And
tomorrow it's Chargers, Raiders. And it's two quarterbacks that this guy's sacked the shit out of, is what I texted him. Yep.
I have sacked these dudes. Your boy has.
How about
a lot of strip sacks, I saw.
Do you know Philip Rivers personally at all? Like, do you chat with him ever? Like what's it?
I told Russillo on our pod the first time he ever talked trash to me on the field, he called me a pretty boy, and I was like, "You coming on to me, bro? Like you got a lot of kids? Like it ain't happening here."
Chris, you know,
that's 9 kids. Like what's up with that exactly?
My man, I mean, listen, he's got to be the best dad in the world because pro football makes it tough, and he pulls it off beautifully. The conversion van, it's awesome.
I mean, not like how do you go out to dinner? How do you? That's rough. 9
He probably
kids.
Doesn't. He brought his 9th kid, the youngest one, to the podium last week. It was so cute. Is he going to be in broadcasting? Like one of the? Is he going to be a first?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is he going to be a first overall pick when that draft class comes out?
Well, that goes back to how we started this. He has 9 kids, so either he's going to want a job and never be home, or it'll be the opposite way. He'll have no job and be like it's one or the other. Like either he wants to get away from those kids, or he just wants to be 24/7 with. I mean, you got 9 of them. I think you need to escape at some point.
I mean, so here's one. Who? Real quick, one name that you want to see in the media when they finish playing.
Philip Rivers.
I gotta think.
Olsen.
No, okay. I'm trying to think. Like who's?
He hates Greg Olsen. There we go.
No.
Heard it here first.
I mean, Greg Olsen. Everyone. I mean, whatever.
I
still feel like we were robbed of Jay Cutler. Say what you want. Like, he was honest and different.
Cutler.
Like, we were robbed him coming back to the Dolphins for that last year. I wanted to hear him in the booth.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Who's like
I think Jason Kelce could be.
Yeah, he's funny.
Terrific. Yeah. He's my sleeper.
I'm trying to think, like, who's funny. I have to say, I'm intrigued by Gronk doing this media gig.
I'm intrigued.
Intrigued is the word. Intrigued. Like, it's. You know, watching him try to say a sentence is—it's amusing.
There's more to Gronk, though. You know this,
smarter.
Chris. Yes, there's more to him.
I think he's a lot smarter than he leads
on.
I think
he's
a bit of a bit.
I'm not saying he's not smart, but I'm just saying, like when he did the Edelman thing and the squirrel gets the nut, and then he tried to say,
and he's gonna get that nut.
Yeah,
I was like,
like, is that not the perfect Rob Gronkowski segment right there? Like, that's it.
Like, it is, but I'd like to see him be. I'd like to see a different side of
him.
He
tried to say a word. I forgot the word. I tweeted it at the time, but he tried to say a word that was like 4 syllables, and his head looked like
he
was gonna
explode. I screw up words. I have a 99th percentile verbal IQ. I'm not being self-deprecating here. I screw up 2 words a show. It's like a running joke.
Yeah.
Like,
No. I'm not
I called Kevin Harlan Kevin Harlinson yesterday.
That's bad. That's bad. That's like Dick Stockton.
You were
the
talking
other
about
day.
The call about the cat?
Yeah, the cat call was amazing.
He is the best, Kevin Harlan. That cat call was.
Nobody's going Tom Brady here? Is that not in his cards? What do you think, Chris?
If he totally flips the script and like reinvents the brand again, I can't wait. Tom, it's the mystery surrounding Tom.
Yeah.
That makes me want to know what's next.
I think Belichick would be more intriguing because I've heard him whenever he does, when he's talking about the game.
History.
He's very, very, yeah. And he did the 30 for 30 with the two Bills, him and Parcells. That was really, really good. So
you got to get it in Bill's wheelhouse, because if it's not, he doesn't care.
Have you ever made Bill Belichick laugh?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, tell me about it. What do you mean?
Well, when I had the Julian mask, he loved that. I bought like a $600 porcelain Julian mask that we actually talked about on my show on Halloween. And I showed up to meetings in it, and I got the tooth smile.
You got a
Bill.
Tooth
I got the tooth smile and the laugh and the shoulder shrug. Right. And in fact, he made me stand up in front of the team, so he really liked that.
Wow.
That's good. Good. Anytime you make Bill Belichick smile, that's got to be like, you know, a huge...
Oh, I got
like
plenty of smiles out of Bill. Yeah. I kept it light in that building.
Did you get more smiles or more like opposite of smiles from him?
I just tried to not make the mistake, you know, before I got coached on it. That was my approach always. I was very attentive to detail. I got yelled at once or twice, but I'd say my smile.
What was one of the times you got yelled at? What did you do that get yelled at?
Probably roughing Tyrod Taylor in the fourth quarter of a low scoring game that Jacoby Brissett started, and we lost the fourth week of 2016, roughing him. And then subsequently, along with Jamie Collins, missing a sack. That was my cringiest big team meeting in New England.
Gotcha.
Kirk Cousins would never do that, Chris.
No, Kirk would never. He would never.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this, and good luck with NFL Next on Amazon Prime, 7 p.m. And Kay, you can catch on Good Morning Football as well. Chris has his whole thing going, Chalk Media on YouTube.
Tell us what you've got cooking.
Is the pod on Apple yet, or it's still YouTube only?
So my big victory last night was we finally get it approved. It feels like an eternity. We've been running YouTube, and it is like a show, but it's a podcast, which now the lines are being blurred, as we can see here. But the show is Tuesday and Friday. It's called Greenlight, and we tape it out of Charlottesville, and we try to push it out as quickly as we can. We just got approved for audio, and last night, big victory for me. They said, tweet this link. Shouldn't be very hard. So I tweet the Apple Music link, and I go, here it is, guys, on Spotify for everybody.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And then I step away for 30 minutes, and everybody's like, I can fix this for you. Like, this is a good start. I'm like, well, you know, we're not exactly a buttoned-up organization yet, and that's kind of our brand. So if you like the pod, check us out on Apple Music, YouTube, Spotify, all that stuff.
Love it.
All right. Good to have you in the podcast game.
Yo, I'm in the game,
welcome
dude.
Aboard. No, I love it.
You're gonna take
I told
Jimmy
you.
Out?
No, I loved his pod. I told him it was that first episode. I was cracking up. I really
thank you.
It
I appreciate it. And the snake, by the way, episode two. You got to go check it out. Yeah. Snake bit my co-host.
Told
okay,
you.
I'm gonna go. I need to go. I have to catch up on both. Yeah. I'm gonna binge listen to this.
Thanks,
did it seriously?
Thanks for supporting her cousin, Chris, Dalvin.
Like, we talked about snakes.
Bring the snake to the pregame show tomorrow on Amazon.
I don't like snakes.
I didn't even want Jake the Snake Plumber on our show because that's how it has to go.
I almost had
snakes
to send him off.
All right, Chris, take it easy, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Thanks. All right. Take it easy.
Kay, thank you so much for coming in. And
don't hang up yet, Chris.
No, let him hang up.
No, okay. I want to take a picture of all of us in front of the TV. Bye.
All right, very fun chat there. My thanks to Chris Long and Kay Adams. Loved having them on. And now we continue the podcast with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post on the Big Mike Francesa News right here on the SI Media Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular. Of course I had to have him on this week, New York Post media columnist, Andrew Marchand. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jimmy?
I am doing well, and obviously we have big news in New York with Mike Francesa's. I think it's a bizarre announcement. Maybe that's not a fair assessment, but he's leaving Afternoon Drive on FAN, but he's still doing stuff for radio.com. Like, do we know what he's going to be doing once he leaves Afternoon Drive? Do we know that yet?
Nah, we don't know fully exactly how the mechanics will work. I mean, I've been told some ideas how it might work, but I mean, the big headline really is that he's retiring from Afternoon Drive, which of course is where you, I, and a lot of people first started liking Mike Francesa and Mike and the Mad Dog, which is, you know, the most iconic sports radio tandem that's ever been out there in that genre. So that's really the news. So he's retiring from that. I mean, when you look at his last retirement, I mean, it wasn't really a retirement because it was more of he was trying to change jobs. It just didn't work out and he had to come back to FAN. And so there's a semi-retirement. So what he'll do exactly, I've been told, you know, a sliver for WFAN. Does that mean the Sunday show? Does that mean some sort of daily small presence? To be determined. And then radio.com, I think the idea would be to react, to have some commentaries. But I just think the idea of, you know, Mike doing talk shows and calls and hours of radio, I think that is officially over unless there was another comeback.
Okay, that's what's interesting to me, because I was wondering, is he doing like a, you know, because the company line was no more Afternoon Drive. So I was thinking, like, is he doing like a Monday morning show, a Friday morning show? So
I mean, that's possible. Look, that's definitely possible that he does some sort of, you know, set piece or, you know, a couple times a week or perhaps even daily. I mean, he does have a home studio. I believe he has a home studio down in Florida too, where, you know, his house in Florida. And so I do think that he does have the ability when he's not traveling or other activities that he talked about yesterday on the air, you know, that he wants to do in terms of seeing his kids' games and, you know, being a father and traveling. I think he could, you know, he could do something that's sort of regular, but it's different. I think, you know, it's Francesa on the Fan that kind of puts those two things together. And of course with Chris Russo, to begin things back in the 90s or, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, for a long time, you know, really were the pulse of radio, sports radio in New York. So it's a change for sure.
So very, very simple question, which I don't think we've answered yet. So maybe you can educate us here. Why is this happening?
Well, he did retire once before. I mean, the reason Mike Francesa is so interesting is because it's hard to, you know, he's an interesting character, a lot going on there. For me to fully answer why, I mean, he is older, you know, he is at that retirement age for a lot of people. And so, you know, that's one reason. He hasn't for a long time, if you listen to the show, and you've been a long time listener, he hasn't really seemed to enjoy doing the show. You know, does he seem like he can rev it up sometimes? If he gets passionate about coach or something like that with the Giants, even though it does come off a little bit personal, but maybe not. You know, there's definitely reasons to rip Pat Shermer and the Giants and at times Gettleman. But he hasn't seemed like he loved it. So that's number one. Number two, it's the ratings aren't as good. I think he definitely has taken a lot of pride in terms of being ESPN consistently over the 30 years. Now, that said, people don't understand fully the ratings. For a long time, ESPN was on 1050 and FAN was on 660, and that's like comparing if the Post, New York Post, was selling a dry newspaper and the Daily News was selling a wet newspaper that's completely damp from the rain. You can't really compare those two because you couldn't really hear 1050 very well. But for a long time, it really wasn't even I don't think you consider it a battle. And since ESPN's gone to 98.7, it's been a much closer battle. In the first month here, Kay beat Francesa by 1.4 rating share, which included the streaming, the much disputed streaming. So that's a significant difference. Now, could Mike come back? Yeah, he could. But right now, he's getting destroyed in the ratings of that first month. That could be part of it. And I think also money. If he could have gotten Intercom to give him even more money, maybe he stays on. But he got him to give him, I'm sure, a good chunk of money to do radio.com and kind of, at least as far as we know, be able to really have control of his schedule.
Yeah, I mean, when I say why, I it's more about the fact that he only came back last year, May of 2018, and now it's already over. And that's what's like. Do you think he knew when he came back it was going to be short-lived, or is this something that really just recently came up?
Jimmy, Mike and I have been in disagreement over some things this period.
Yeah.
And so one of the things was, I don't think he had good options. There's no known good option that he had after he retired, quote marks, from FAN the first time. He looked around, he talked to places, VSIN. How do you say that?
VSIN.
Yeah, VSIN. They, he knows Brent Musburger a long time. So I mean, I think there's an option there, but not a lucrative option, super lucrative option, what Mike's used to getting paid for. But, a lot of people were pointing to the MSGs and the SNYs and local regionals here as possibilities, and they had no interest. So there wasn't as big a market for him that maybe he thought he could have. So he wanted to come back. And I think people missed it. I mean, when you're a talk show host, it's pretty intoxicating living. Not only, you get to talk about sports, but everywhere you go, everyone wants to know your opinion. Your opinion's so important. And so, that's a good feeling. So when you're in the middle of it, then you're kind of like in the center of things. Oh, I heard you here. When you leave it, you're around, oh, I used to like you. Oh, what are you doing now? It's a little bit, it's a little past tense, and it gets more and more past tense as you move further away from it. And so I presume just being able, having listened to Mike for a long time and watched Mike for a long time, I presume that probably is something that may have influenced him. But it's hard to say. I mean, he's also gone back and forth since he's been back. We talked about forces that didn't want him to return to FAN when he first came back. He said it was only about the app, he's just gone every different direction. So, and then he gets mocked a lot, with the Funhouse and back after this on Twitter, who any contradiction he has is there for the world to see. So it's been an interesting ride. So to answer why exactly, you can only really go by what he said, which is, at the end of the day, is that he wants to spend more time and see his kids who are in high school, which is very understandable. I thought that was a nice moment for Mike on the air the other day.
We've talked about this before, and you just mentioned it, and I'll just throw my two cents out there. I can't believe that social media was not a huge part in this. I firmly believe that, and there's no way to know this. He'll never admit it. There's no way to prove it. I have a feeling a lot of this has to do with social media, because I have not been a regular listener to Mike's for, I guess since 2016. So that's, 3 years now? But I was able to keep up with what was going on strictly based off of Funhouse. And I think a lot of people are in that boat. And 99% of the clips that end up getting posted are not flattering. And the fact that it's so, this is what's so bizarre about it. Mike and FAN and Entercom could have gotten that Twitter account taken down in 1 second if they tried. They didn't. Were they that desperate to keep his name out there and for the publicity that they allowed him to be mocked 24/7? It does not add up. It just does not add up to me. And I have to think that maybe, you know, it's not a mic deal. It's really Entercom. So maybe they figured, listen, no, all publicity is good publicity. We're not going to mess with this Twitter account. Plus, there could be blowback from the internet, blah, blah, blah. But I think Mike had to be tired of being mocked on a daily basis. And I think that had to play a role in all this. Am I crazy or am I onto something?
Well, number one, I don't think Mike would ever admit that. You know,
right.
At least publicly,
right.
If not even privately. But it could help. I mean, we all have people that are important to us in our lives. And even, you know, and if you're on social media, you hear from people and, you know, most people are nice, but some people can be pretty aggressive. And so I do think that perhaps that could have been. I mean, I can't say for certain if that was a factor, but nobody likes to be mocked. It's just...
But it's not just mocked. I mean, you know, it's mocked every day, several times a day. It's not just mocking. Yeah. I mean, listen,
you get mocked,
we all get mocked.
By, you know, yeah. It's by his own words. I mean, like, in fun houses, I mean, he seems to enjoy it, but it's not like, you know, he's not making it up. He's just showing the contradictions, which have been there probably forever, you know. But, you know, now you can show it with video, which is stronger than if someone said, you know, Francesca said this on Tuesday, and then he said this on Thursday, which my colleague Phil Mushnick has been writing about for years and years. But, you know, so when you have the video evidence, it's even stronger. So, yeah, I would presume he can't like it. And why? I do think it does help, you know, with the publicity for the show. But, yeah, so I don't think it probably doesn't help. It can't help. I mean, nobody wants to be mocked relentlessly. And it's almost sad. The one thing that, you know, and I kind of do kind of feel bad for Mike here at the end here, but, and I almost took that tone in my column yesterday, but he's been such a bully throughout the years that it's like, that's why, you know, someone made this point to me. Steve Summers was struggling here at the end, you know, and again, Steve Summers is, you know, he's a fabled figure at FAN in his own right, but he's not Mike. But he's kind of the schmoozer, nice guy. I think people would have more empathy. Mike, it feels like, you know, he's been a bully for so long that there's no empathy, and he doesn't laugh at himself. I mean, the crank calls, you know, he could defuse the whole thing, but he gets so aggressive, and it's like, you know, it's childish in a lot of ways because, you know, people are picking on him like they're in elementary school. And but he's, instead of just laughing with it and going forward, he,
right,
you know, kind of is like, you know, how dare you say this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the difference between...
And he's been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, the difference between Steve Summers and even his former partner, Chris Russo, is that the general public roots for those guys, whereas I think there are a lot of people rooting against Mike because of some of his tactics.
Very good point, Jimmy. Now, that's spot on. And yeah, he's a little overbearing. He goes after a lot of people, which is part of the show. I mean, look, being a egomaniac is part of, I think, being successful in sports radio. Either you might become that, or just radio in general as a talk show host. You might become that over time because of how you're treated and how the world treats you. But I also think you probably have to start out a little bit in that way when you get into that career.
Now, you mentioned the ratings. That was the other thing I found bizarre in all this. He has not lost a ratings book yet. He lost 1 month of the 3 month ratings book so far. Given Mike's personality, it's shocking to me too that he would go out on what could be a loss. I would think he'd stick around sort of to, you know, right the ship, get back to number one, and then maybe go. And I know he's already, I guess from what I've seen on Twitter, he's already spinning it as, you know, I've won 77 times and I'm only losing once, which is obviously a phenomenal record. And I don't think, and no one's disputing Mike's career. I mean, it's been a phenomenal career.
Exactly. Nobody's disputing. I got some tweets that from my column. Nobody. I call him iconic. I call him legendary. I mean, I'm talking about the columns that I wrote the other day about the last 2 years,
right?
And what's gone on. Not that he hasn't had a great career. Now, has he been a jerk for a long time? Yeah, but he's had a great career. I mean, Mike, and you know. Like a lot of people, I grew up with Mike and, you know, I was a little bit older when they started, but, you know, I was a teenager or something, you know, right. When they started getting going.
So you don't think...
And so, you know, I grew up just like so many people are in this, in the tri-state area, listening to Mike and Chris.
Right. So, I mean, that it's shocking to me, and we don't know if he's going to lose the book, but let's say it, you know, I know it was the first month was a thumping. To go out that way seems really strange to me. Really strange.
Well, two things there. Number one, you don't get a choice of how it works out. So, and in the radio business, there's something called trends, where if you look at like the age, like for even if you date back, and I don't know the exact date, 3 to 5 years, if you would cut it off from 25 to 49, right? Instead of the ratings are done from 25 to 54, KS beat Francesa for. I won't say a while, like, because these aren't exact, but there have been years where, and a lot of books where Kay would have, that's where the cutoff was. He would have been, so you look at those 49-year-olds, they've now keep getting older, and so they've checked out of the ratings game. So that's where his audience is, and that's where they're going. And so they're not, once you get past 54, you're not counted anymore in the ratings, and it's only men, and it's an antiquated system, and we could get into that. And Mike even said, though, you know, and I don't want to get into, I don't care if we want to get into disputed streaming or not streaming. Mike even said, though, he's won, there's a clip that Funhouse had that, you know, he didn't actually, I'm surprised he didn't seize on it, but he did say that, you know, Mike said that he's won most of the books since he's come back. So whatever, streaming, not streaming, we could get into
the deep woods
of that one. Yeah. But the bottom line is, I do agree that if Kay and company over there want to feel like they really beat Mike, it's, you know, they can't have any legit disputes on the other side. So he's up, Kay's up almost a point and a half after the first month, which is a substantial lead, but not insurmountable. But Mike's going to have to turn that around and obviously beat him by that margin one of these months or more, and then go win another month, you know, then be a 1 month battle. So, I mean, Kay, after three innings, that's a tough hill to get over, because generally speaking, even though the rating system is antiquated and not very good, there's trends that happen. And so generally speaking, that they really shouldn't shift so much from month to month. Now, sometimes they do, but they really shouldn't be such a shift where you'd go have basically you'd need like a 2.8 swing the other way to make it a tie ball game.
Right. You know, that's the other thing that I find bizarre about this radio.com thing, and I didn't realize until you came on here that it probably won't be a regular show on radio.com. Might be something.
I mean, it might be.
I mean, Mike has an older audience. People 40 and under really don't listen to Mike. Okay, so this is my opinion. This is my breakdown of it. 40 and under don't really listen to Mike. Maybe 35 and under, they don't listen to radio. Period. It's not just Mike. Mike, the diehards in the core Mike audience, you figure are 40 to 50 years old. My age range, your age range, 40 to 50. And we're the type of people that if we wanted to listen to him, we could fire up radio.com, no problem. You get those people 50 and older, you know, my uncles, and they're not listening to radio.com. Doesn't matter who's on it. To lose that juice of WFAN Monday through, which, you know, say what you want about whatever's going on with ESPN radio. There is WFAN 3 to 6:30 New York City. There is a juice.
No,
there.
They're the kings.
Yeah. And to go to radio.com where I mean, I would imagine, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's got to be more than 50% of his audience have no idea what radio.com is or how to stream or will stream, and you take the option of the car away. It's such a bizarre move to me.
Well, you could play in the car on the app. I mean, that's not hard to do. But you're right.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. I look. I don't understand what Entercom's radio.com play is. I don't necessarily think it's a very good one. They're trying to make that into a hub, and in theory, that makes sense. But the issue for all media companies is distribution has now cost nothing.
Right.
So back in the day, you know, Sports Illustrated, they were the only ones who could send a weekly magazine out across the country. The New York Post was the only one who could distribute the games the night before in the tri-state area. And in radio, the airwaves were only owned at one point just by WFAN. So the only way you could listen to sports were WFAN, and then ESPN came in to challenge them. But those are the only way if you want to hear a talk sports talk show. So Mike and Chris, as great as they were, they also had a monopoly, you know, basically for a long time, which allowed them to establish themselves in that market. Now, so that's what distribution was. So now distribution doesn't cost anything. So Jimmy Traina has a pod from Sports Illustrated, can reach as many people as radio.com can reach. So if you're radio.com, you want to be a destination site and have like a leader to bring that in. And I think they tried to, you know, they first thought was Kurt Minahan from Boston that quickly dissolved. And now, you know, it's Mike and his radio legend. But two things, I think you're right about the audience where it skews. Number one, and number two, I just don't know if that necessarily works. I mean, I'm not saying like they have to try something. I would drill down the local angle of radio because right. I think local radio, especially sports talk, has a long life. It's not, that's not going anywhere. That's going to be around for a long time because similar to games on cable TV with ESPN, et cetera, it's live. So if there's an event and, you know, the Jets and the, you know, Giants play, and let's say something interesting happens on Sunday, you know, Monday, you want to listen to those local shows. Now, you know, like the New York Post, we have a podcast and Brian Costello does a great job and people should listen to it. So that's one way to do it, but that's a 20-minute show. But now the, what people have grown accustomed to is that whole back and forth. And that's what you get with WFAN and then, you know, on a more limited basis, but also, you know, with ESPN, with their local shows. And so, yes, to get to the point about Mike, I don't see it. I also don't like if I'm them, and I get it. He's a huge name, but I have a feeling they're still paying him a good amount of money.
Right.
How invested is he in doing this? You know, he's already talking about why he wants to not do the Daily Show, and he wants to do, you know, he'll do some stuff for radio.com, et cetera, and whatever. So it sounds like he's going to get paid pretty well. But how invested? We saw with the app, which he was charging people $8.99 per month, he wasn't that invested in it. I mean, we don't have to start another fight or whatever, but there just wasn't that much extra content of that, of Mike. And I don't blame him. Who wants to do that? But he's the one who came up with the idea and it didn't make sense, the whole thing.
Yeah,
but,
let's not go there.
So why is it? Well, yeah, exactly. but so I don't really see it. I don't really see it right. Where, like, I think your points are very good. And I just think, I don't know if he's going to really bring an audience that's going to help, you know, rise the rest of the boats in that sea.
Last one before I let you go. Is there, obviously you would save this for the New York Post, but let me try to take a stab at it. Is there anything about the story we don't know? Is there anything that's out that is not out there that we should know, anything, whether it's with Entercom, with Mike, with FAN, anything we would be surprised to know?
Well, one thing I was told was, so I wrote in September that he was going to go to, you know, this was a big possibility discussed. I was told this was going to happen, but it's Mike, so I just wrote contemplated. But then after the story came out, and I was told by two people that after you write this, he might just change his mind. Because, you know, and everyone gets to listen to Mike, and so they know how he is, but that's a little surprising. I was told he got some cold feet and thought about maybe returning again. Now, Mike and his people, they're probably listening, they'll maybe deny that, but that's what I was told. And I can't 100% prove it. You know, Mike could say, no, that's not what happened. But then, he, of course, yesterday or Tuesday, because I know there's a podcast, Jimmy. Tuesday, he came out with his statement, which he gave to Neil Best on Twitter. And so, you know, obviously they warmed up. But, you know, I basically put most everything in the paper. Here's one other little thing that I think is interesting. You know, there could be some movement. I do think it's not under, like, what's going to happen to FAN? What is the combinations going to be? Will they be able to re-sign Bart Scott, who suddenly has great leverage with only 2 months to go? it will be very interesting to see what lineup FAN has, because one of the things you do want is continuity in the radio business. And they might come out, besides the morning show, which, you know, you go on the assumption they re-signed Greg Giannotti to pair with Boomer, and they're doing very well. The rest of it could be all kind of semi-new shows, which takes a while for people to get acclimated to. Now, familiar voices, I think there's a good chance Evan Roberts ends up in the afternoons in some form, but a new lineup, which could work. Maybe it'll work quickly, but it usually takes a little time for people to adjust to.
Although I'll have you back on when FAN announces that new lineup, we can analyze it. Hopefully they hook up my buddy Salicata. He does a great job. He should be getting some prime spots on FAN. Guy brings the passion. I'm biased, but I'd love to see him get a bigger role there. I'll have you on when FAN sorts this all out, and when Mike starts at radio.com, and we can figure out what exactly his day-to-day job will be. But I appreciate you coming on and giving us some insight on this one. And we'll have you on again soon. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, long podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I love talking to all three of my guests. My thanks to Kay Adams, Chris Long, Andrew Marchand. Please, if you're a first-time listener, give us a subscribe on Apple or wherever you listen. Spotify helps tremendously. Rate, review, if I can push it, but subscribe is the key. And we'll see you next week right here on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.